Penguin Random House Audio presents This Wheel of Rocks, An Unexpected Spiritual Journey. This is the author, Sister Maria Grathwohl. To Earth's Future. For children everywhere, for the children of every species. Prologue. The 4,000-foot ascent up Wyoming State Highway 14 from the Tongue River Valley to the first summit of the Bighorn Mountains is a journey back in time. Along the way, big brown signs tell stories locked in ascending layers of stone. I grab the only paper in the car, a Wyoming map, and scribble notes in the margins as my longtime friend Dory Green throttles up steep switchbacks. I catch Triassic Permian, 199 to 299 million years ago, followed in quick succession by Pennsylvanian, Mississippian, Devonian, 360 to 410 million years ago, and Ordovician, 443 to 488 million years ago. Breathtaking views of the valley open below us at each bend. Dory and I talk excitedly about the life forms that were emerging during those periods, ideas just as breathtaking as the spectacular views. Dory, who had distanced herself from organized religion, nevertheless coins the phrase rock rosary to express the sequence of life mysteries locked in the rock layers. Reptiles, forests, amphibians, fish, bodies of cooperating cells, photosynthesis. As the mountain reveals the splendor of life's evolution, I find myself asking, who are we human beings? Within this array of life forms, what is our role, our gift to Earth? These immense questions require a universe or religion. Perhaps a mountain could assist with a nagging smaller question, the question I explore here. Then, near the summit, we abruptly round a cliff. Another sign, Precambrian, 2.9 billion years ago, granite. And my soul slams into awe. Earth began forming approximately 4.6 billion years ago. At this cliff, we are in the presence of some of the oldest exposed rock on the planet. When these massive slabs were slowly cooling deep underground, life itself had been murmuring forth in mysterious and, perhaps, simple ways for about a billion years. We find a pull-off. I race back to the cliff and near the sign pick up something small. A stone, heavy for its size, glistens with quartz. I hold it close to my lips. You, I whisper, you witnessed life's genius in creating photosynthesis. I stand silent, listening. Time stops. In my hands is a scripture, a stone crying out. I recall that it was a mere 2,000 years ago that Jesus said, "If the people are silent, the stones will cry out." Earth, a rocky planet, cries out. Earth cries out against global mass extinction of species, the destruction of human-caused climate change, and the prowess of militarized and industrialized humanity to poison and destroy Earth's support systems, soil, air, and water. Earth cries out against the suffering we humans cause each other. Here is my question for the mountain. How do we learn to become contributing members of the pageant of life, of this ongoing story of a communion of species, subjects in their own right? Is Earth really a communion of subjects, each to be respected with humility, or more like a collection of objects to exploit for human economic gain and power? Standing on primordial granite, holding it in human hands close to our ears and hearts, we hear the voice of life's early ancestors. Microscopic beings found ways to absorb energy and replicate themselves. Billions of years later, can we dare to find ways to participate in the energy of life's communion and invent flourishing human communities that enhance the whole Earth community and especially the planet? As members of the Sisters of St. Francis, Oldenburg, I and others challenge ourselves to speak a word of hope. Throughout my life, I've heard the cries of suffering Earth. It began when my parents and I visited the tomb of the extinct passenger pigeon in the Cincinnati Zoo. I left feeling sad. As a young adult, I became aware of the cries of polluted air and water. More sadness. Gradually, I made my way to Crow and Northern Cheyenne elders and children, to college professors and scientists, to geologists and scripture scholars, and earth activists who taught me to listen to the suffering of earth and people and respond in hope by working to reinvent what it means to be human. In these times of extreme destruction, I dare to offer this book as a word of hope and an invitation to transforming action. Part 1. The Road to Pryor, Montana. 1. Inklings. Show your servants the deeds you do. Let their children enjoy your splendor. Psalms 90, verse 16. They were inklings, I realize now. Flowing in the material world, they came whispering. I believe they were sent from God. The messages lodged in my soul and mind, tenacious as loss, tenacious as memories of beauty. They had the potential to shape my future. The earliest was Mom. Mary Jane Seiler Grathwohl often walked carrying me around her yard. She stopped to admire tall white lilies, held me to their wide faces to smell them. She wiped yellow pollen off my nose. Newlywed Jane and Larry Grathwohl bought a home on a dead-end street, Laura Lane, in Norwood, Ohio. They took frequent evening walks, seeking nearby parks where they could take the children they anticipated bringing into their lives. They discovered an Indian mound, a 20-minute walk from their home. Two distinct cultures, named by archaeologists Adena, 800 BCE to 100 CE, and Hopewell, 100 CE to 500 CE, had built hundreds of burial and ceremonial mounds throughout the Ohio Valley. What the builders called themselves is unknown. Unknown to Jane and Larry was how the mound would shape my future. To me, Laura Lane was no dead end. The mound was located on the highest point in our neighborhood. Fenced as a small park, it was one of the few mounds that had been left undisturbed. Norwood had built the town's two water towers behind it. Whenever it was my turn to suggest the destination of a frequent family walk, I always chose the Indian Mound. Its conical grassy hill was almost as high as a one-story house. Maple and oak trees had taken root on it. It was quiet and cool at the mound, even in the humidity of summer. As we walked around it, Mom reminded us not to climb on it because it was special. Maybe some people were
sample complete. Ready to continue?